From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
It's a beautiful Wednesday edition of the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone, with Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. David Reed is the chairman of the board. We are queued up by Edley's, authentically Nashville, locally owned Edley's. Now has Bushwhackers delivered. You heard that right. All of your favorite Edley's cocktails can now be delivered to your doorstep. You can give them a call at 615-942-7499 for delivery. Pickup options, curbside pickup options, their delicious menu available. You can get everything but the mason jar at Edley's Barbecue, available for pickup, curbside pickup today.
So I not as if people are on the edge of their seats for this, but I just wanted to finish the Simon story that I was telling when I went to take the Schaffner phone call. He's now determined to run a 5K, and I'm telling him, well, it's going to be a while before there's an actual 5K. He's asking, you know, how do you think I'll do in my age group? What will my age group be? Blah, blah, blah. So I want to encourage. And I said, listen, when you're ready to run one, we'll put the phone in your pocket with the app that, you know, tracks your distance and everything and your pace and all of that. I'll ride a bike alongside of you so you're not doing it, you know, completely alone. And mom will be at the finish line, cheering you on as you come down the pike and everything. And it'll be a huge deal. Pasta dinner the night before, celebration dinner. We'll get takeout from wherever you want. When you're ready, you won't have competition running against you, but it will be a big deal. And then you could start on getting ready for the 10K 2 days after that.
And why do I have a feeling? All in on this. Why do I have a feeling, Chad, that Paul will eventually go from riding the bike alongside to being in a car following him like the Tour de France?
Oh, no, I can easily be on the bike. So doing this, you know, you walk for like 90 seconds and then you run for 60 seconds. And so he gets way beyond me during the run for 60 seconds. And then I scream stop at the end of the 60 seconds. And then he walks back to me while I'm walking forward. You know, but, I was a mess. Feel a little sore today.
And the running joke is, you know, Paul's preparing for the, is it the, it's the couch to 3K? Is that what it
couch
is?
Couch to 5K. Yeah. I've done it before and had
couch
good
to 5K, and then, you know, Simon will take the 5K and go to a 10K.
Yeah.
And I said, Paul will be couch to 5K, back to the couch.
5K back to couch. Yeah.
Paul, how's that Peloton work coming along at your house?
I'm not on it as often because now I'm a runner again.
Man. Nice. That's you're out and about.
Taking like advantage that. Of the great outdoors. We have been doing a little of, we're just at the very beginning, but Peloton offers a little like meditation stuff that you could put on your iPad. So we did a family 10-minute meditation that I think Teresa and I liked a lot. And Simon was like, that was unbearable. That was the longest 10 minutes of my life. It was awful. I couldn't sit still. And blah, blah, blah. 10 minutes to a 10-year-old is an eternity to be quiet and listen to a guy telling you to settle your inner core.
Chad, did you check in on the Skype?
Yeah, I'm dying to hear this.
I'm going down to do it right now, and I'll take a photo or a video of it to see how it's operating. I can tell you, I did check in on Edley's Barbecue. I called the number you've been giving out, Hutton. Took me about 90 seconds for someone to wait on hold to answer. Spoke with Megan at Edley's in Sylvan Park. And I ordered up that brisket lasagna that they're offering up for $20 for the family. So I will be picking that up later. So I just want to let everyone out there listening. It's very easy to make that happen.
So you scheduled way out?
Yep. You can schedule for a time. I said I'll be picking up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So they're ready to go.
Is the brisket lasagna a day, a special today, or is it a permanent menu item?
They had it running yesterday, and they've got them going right now, where you can take it home and, you know, warm it up in the oven, so to speak.
It looks great.
Go to edleysbbq.com for more information on that. Again, it's $20 for the brisket lasagna. Reed, give us the latest COVID-19 local update.
So a little bit earlier this morning, the mayor's office, of course, having their daily press conference. The number of confirmed cases in Davidson County and Metro Nashville is up to 673. That's a total of up 132 cases over the last 24 hours. Now, keep in mind, that's because testing once again, is expanding, and they are encouraging everyone in Nashville Metro and Davidson County, if you believe that you're showing signs of the COVID-19 virus, to call the hotline at 615-862-7777. Again, that's 615-862-7777. You'll speak to a healthcare professional. They will evaluate that, and if they need to believe that you are suffering from some of the symptoms, they will send you to one of those community assessment centers. But that is the first step in the process. You can't just show up to the community assessment center believing that you can get tested there because you've self-diagnosed. They want you to call the hotline again. That's at 615-862-7777. That's a very important step in this process if you believe you're having symptoms here in Davidson County, because people are starting to show up just at the community assessment centers believing they can be tested. They want you to call the hotline first as not to overwhelm the system. They'll give you a time and a day to show up at that assessment center if you believe you are suffering. And last night, guys, I don't know if you heard this or not, Montgomery County in Clarksville, the first county in the state to issue a stay-at-home shelter-in-place order that's going to be invoked. It was invoked last night, and they're saying they want people to stay inside until April the 8th, and it is punishable by fines in Montgomery County now.
And just to pick up on Cooper's order from earlier this morning, the Safer at Home order, he extended that to April 24th, and they have a committee along with police officers and law enforcement who are going to go along and padlock businesses who are not essential businesses who are in violation of the Safer at Home order. For more information, visit the city site. Reed?
And we hit this with Dr. Schaffner earlier. There was a large disparity between male and females who had contracted COVID-19 since the start of this, and he said that was starting to balance out. A lot of that data was coming initially from China, where they have a high percentage of men who smoke. In Davidson County, there are 337 males who have tested positive and 327 females, so just a difference of 10. So that's right on par with the information that Dr. Schaffner was giving us earlier.
Greg Cosell is about to join us. And, Paul, you are headed to the Robinson media availability.
Yeah, I tweeted a little earlier. We've had time to reflect, and we're going to be called on. So I pray that the media is better equipped to handle this, and I also pray that Robinson and Vrabel will actually say some things.
Well, so, hang on. To give the media some credit here, much better collectively in the Dennis Kelly teleconference, right?
Correct. Okay. But listen, I mean, we're all starving for stuff. TV stations in particular have, you know, a lot of us have been able to write stuff without anything new, right? I think TV stations in particular are starving. I think they're going to be a ton of questions, and I don't know if they're going to be a ton of answers. So wish us all Godspeed.
Well, the media will do its job and ask legitimate questions, and we'll air the Robinson presser today. That will be at 1 o'clock. We'll have Mike Vrabel at 1:30. Greg Cosell is coming up next, where we're going to hit defensive line, maybe a few linebackers if we have time on the back end of our conversation with him. But we'll also ask about the new Titans addition with defensive lineman Jack Crawford on the interior. And Yannick Ngakoue, who is franchise tagged by Jacksonville, is reportedly on the market. And we'll ask about the consistent player that Yannick Ngakoue has been for Jacksonville and his value across the league. We'll get Cosell's assessment of Ngakoue over the years in Jacksonville. That's next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
It's a titanic offseason for the Titans, and your home for Titans football is right here. 104.5 The Zone.
Glad you're with us. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Lunchtime is here. Hit up Edley's online, edleysbbq.com, to check out the great menu items that they have available for curbside pickup or delivery. It's all online, edleysbbq.com. You can download the Edley's app as well. Every Wednesday at 12:15, we are joined by Greg Cosell of NFL Films. He joins us to talk NFL draft, NFL free agency, and all of the NFL happenings. Greg, how are you today?
Hanging in there, Jonathan. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. I thought of you yesterday whenever they canceled CMA Fest this year. That hit home to you because you were coming to town.
I knew that was coming. I mean, that was just a matter of time.
Greg, let's start in free agency. What can you tell us about defensive lineman Jack Crawford, who has been an NFL journeyman, most recently with Atlanta, and just what you know about the depth guy that he's been across the league on the interior defensive line?
Well, I remember liking him when he came out of Penn State. He was a guy who could play both defensive tackle and defensive end, which he did throughout his career in the NFL. And I think in today's NFL, where you're looking for that kind of thing on your defensive front, you're looking for multi-positional players, I think he's a good fit. You know, he's obviously not a guy you sign to be a star, but he's a rotational player who plays in specific packages, and he can line up both on the outside and on the inside. So, you know, I think he's a good pickup.
Better than Austin Johnson?
Better pass rusher than Austin Johnson, a more athletic. Different build, different body type, different kind of player.
Greg Cosell with us. Greg, Yannick Ngakoue, reportedly available via trade through Jacksonville, even though they've tagged him, a real consistent player at a high level. And he's more than just, as Coach Mack would put it, an empty chair out there when the Titans and everyone else would have to prepare for him. How consistent has he been throughout those years there in Jacksonville? And just discuss the player that teams would be likely wanting to trade for.
Well, Ngakoue, to me, I mean, he's predominantly, what he's been, let's put it this way, is a 4-3 D end. But we know that those kinds of things are not as important as they used to be. He's a really good edge pass rusher. That's what he is. So, you know, you can decide in your base defense what you think he is or how much base defense you're going to play. But he's a true edge pass rusher and a very good one. So, you know, I think that teams have to decide what kind of value that is. You can also get caught up in, hey, we're an edge pass rusher away from being really good. Yeah, I think you have to be careful a little bit about that. I mean, obviously pass rush is important, but you have to decide what he's worth. But he's very good as an edge pass rusher.
Let's get to the upcoming draft. You've watched a handful of really good players that are available, and we stay on defense this week. And let's start at the top of the interior defensive line class and then across the defensive line overall. And let's chat about Auburn's Derrick Brown. He is a solid player for even or odd fronts in college. He's competitive. And you've told me, Greg, he's one of your top overall prospects of this entire draft, regardless of position. Why?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I mean, I think he can become a complete defensive tackle over time. The one thing he's not great at right now is I wouldn't call him a great pass rusher. You know, I'd look at him right now for people who follow the NFL closely and are familiar with other teams. He kind of reminded me of a Michael Brockers or an Akeem Hicks. And I remember talking with Coach Mack at the Combine, and I made the Michael Brockers comparison to Coach Mack, and he thought that was a good one. So Brown is a very good player. He's got size, power, strength. He's pretty athletic for a big man. He's competitive. He made some pursuit plays well outside the box. He's certainly a highly disruptive interior D lineman. I think he can play in even fronts. He can play in odd fronts. If he can just improve his pass rush, I think he can be a big, big-time interior player.
South Carolina's Javon Kinlaw is a player I'm intrigued to get your evaluation of because he looks the part, as so many players do, and he's a good player lining up all across those defensive fronts there in South Carolina. But when you're watching him play, and he played a lot with, 35 starts or so there, was he as consistent game-to-game, quarter-to-quarter, as you would expect a player at the top of the draft to be? Can he be a Chris Jones-type player? I know he has the traits. I don't see that player every snap from him, though.
No, and I think that's a good comparison. I think people who draft him will feel he can develop into that kind of player with his size and his movement. You know, he certainly has the desirable combination of size, length, power, quickness, movement, And your point's correct, because I did say in my notes that he was not a consistently dominant inside defender. Now, he was used a lot at South Carolina in three-man pass rush situations where they just rushed three and he'd get double-teamed. And he would tend to stand up and not really do a great job. But again, you can make the argument that when there's a three-man rush, which is not going to happen that often in the NFL, that hurt him. I think he's at his best as a power leverage player. He's got heavy, violent hands. He has a powerful lower body. The question, again, is pass rush. Can he be a strong pass rusher? Because that's what the NFL game has evolved into, that you need your interior defensive linemen to be good pass rushers. The Chris Jones comparison, Jonathan, that's a good one. I think people who love him will think he can become that.
And the main difference between Kinlaw and Brown is just consistency, snap after snap?
They're probably somewhat similar in terms of what they could be, because I think that Kinlaw is, the Michael Brockers comparison also made sense for him as well. I don't think that he's got the twitchiness and pass rush explosiveness of an Aaron Donald. And again, Aaron Donald is a special guy. But, I think there's probably some similarities between the two players.
Greg Cosell with us. Let's go to TCU and Ross Blacklock. He's a full-grown man on the defensive line when you look up some of his play there. Hey, I know he missed all of 2018 with Achilles injury. He's two-gapped a lot at TCU with Patterson's defense. And on every snap, he is making something happen. He's a good player, Greg, but where does he compare in this list of interior defensive linemen?
Well, he's a better pass rusher right now than either Brown or Kinlaw. And he was a fascinating watch for me, because he has elite lateral quickness, change of direction, closing burst and speed. He's got really natural athletic traits to rush the quarterback. He played a ton of what we call zero technique and one technique at TCU, but I think his traits suggest that he's a three-technique defensive tackle in the NFL, and that is, he's a gap player. He's got tremendous quickness. I think he's a high-level prospect due to his pass rush ability, and inside pass rush is an in-demand commodity in the NFL. So, I really think that Blacklock is a guy that I really keep an eye on. I don't know, again, you know me, Jonathan, I don't predict where guys may or may not get drafted, but I think Blacklock is one of those guys that we could start to hear a lot about. And I think he ultimately transitions in the league as a three-technique defensive tackle.
So his quickness off the snap, that initial burst, is impressive?
Yes, and he beats people with his athleticism. So to me, he's a gap player, and I really liked his tape, and I didn't know anything about him. I hadn't seen him until the combine. He actually ran really well, just to prove his athleticism. He ran a 4.940, which for a 6'3", 290-pound man is pretty good.
Now, speaking of quickness, initial burst, Oklahoma's Neville Gallimore, he made a lot of plays by winning on the initial move, and he is quick in that short area. What do you like about him? What are your reservations? What do you think holds him back ultimately from being compared to Blacklock?
I don't think he's quite the pass rusher. I mean, he's got natural quickness. He's a good athlete. He's very, very competitive. I think he did flash the ability to rush the quarterback with quickness off the ball. He's got pretty strong, active hands that at times carried some power and some pop. I think that the one thing that with him is Oklahoma played a slanting front. They slanted their D linemen a lot, so they allowed him to come off the ball with movement. And that allowed him to be an effective player. He showed outstanding range to make plays outside the box. He did have a tendency to play a little high at times, and that's always a concern for a D lineman when you transition and project them to the NFL, because that negated all his strength and his traits. And he needs to be a quickness explosion player because of his shorter stature. So that's ultimately what he needs to be, and if he plays too high, he loses all that. So I think he's a good prospect, but I think there are some concerns with him.
Coming up, Greg Cosell continues the discussion on the defensive line. We'll focus more on SEC players. I know Chad's about to discuss some players from LSU, among others. We'll get to some linebackers as well, including a couple of players from Mississippi State. It's the Midday 180 with Greg Cosell. We're queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
You know what? They may not be playing the games, but we're still talking sports. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Barbecue. We continue with Greg Cosell of NFL Films. We're going to mix and match some edge pass rushers, some defensive ends and defensive tackles, and continue the discussion into the linebackers of the NFL draft. And Chad, let's start in the SEC.
Boy, there's a lot of good ones in the SEC, specifically at LSU, Greg. And I want to start with a guy whose name typically comes up behind Chase Young in terms of edge pass rushers, and that's Chaseon from LSU. What do you make of him as a prospect?
Oh, I really like this kid. And you know, keep in mind, he's 20 years old. But I really, really like this kid. I think he's a high-level edge prospect. I think he's just scratching the surface, Chad, of what he can become, given his lack of experience. I think he only played 26 games and maybe started 17, something like that. But he's an explosive athlete. He's got natural quickness. He's got sudden movement. I think he showed, given his lack of experience, a pretty refined sense of pass rush moves. They used him to drop back into coverage as an underneath coverage defender. When they played Oklahoma, he ran down C.D. Lamb. He's a guy you can move around. You can stand him up. I think he's got explosion, bend, change of direction, closing speed. I would look in 3 years for this guy to be a really, really good player in the NFL.
Greg, in your analysis of C.D. Lamb, how many times did players run him down?
I don't think they ran him down a lot. I just remember that specific play because I was watching Chaseon, and I just went, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's impressive. Yeah.
But Chaseon is a guy I really, really like on tape. And like I said, because he's so young and lacks experience, I think he's just scratching the surface of what he can become.
Let's stay with that LSU defense. Patrick Queen from LSU. What do you make of him, Greg?
Yeah, you know, I like Patrick Queen. I don't know if I'm quite as high on him as everybody else is. Like, I really like Kenneth Murray a lot more, but Queen certainly fits the profile of the undersized athletic running chase stack backer. A lot of people say that's what you need to be in today's NFL. I don't think he's an overly physical player. His game's built more on finesse and movement than strength and power. I don't think he plays downhill very well. You know, Coach Mack always talks about stacked linebackers. You still need to be able to use your hands and shed blocks. I think that's something that he needs to work on. But I will say this. I thought he improved significantly as the season progressed in terms of his play recognition and his reaction time and quickness. And that allowed his athletic traits to show up more. He may start out to me as a sub player. But again, those guys play 70% of the snaps, but he'll probably eventually develop into a three-down linebacker. But I think there's not a lot of physicality to his game.
Jabari Zuniga was an impressive-looking player at Florida and very impressive at times, but there were some questions about consistent effort with him. When you flipped on the tape and watched him at Florida, did you see some of those issues? And overall, what did you see in him?
You know, I think he showed enough competitiveness. I don't know if that was a true issue, but I think he's one of the most intriguing prospects in this draft. He obviously got hurt in this last season, his senior year, playing only 6 games, but he's long, he's athletic. I mean, he ran a 4.64 40. Now, again, that's a number, but that shows his athleticism. He ended up playing multiple positions along Florida's front. I thought he showed outstanding flashes of explosive athleticism. So you have to take that into account. They were flashes. But somebody's going to look at him and think, wow, we can make this guy into a player. Because he showed these flashes both outside as a pass rusher and inside when he worked against offensive guards. So I think there's a lot that people will like. The question is, can he become that kind of player in the NFL?
You mentioned, Greg, Oklahoma linebacker Kenneth Murray, who you like. He's fast. He has range, an 80-inch wingspan, which comes into play quite a bit when you watch him play. He's explosive. What do you like about his physical tools?
I love his physical tools. Now, I know most people seem to, and again, these are just mock drafts, which they don't mean a lot to me, but most people seem to have Queen ahead of Murray. I liked Murray more. I thought his combination of size, length, explosive movement, I thought to me that was the best at the position in this 2020 draft class when you talk about stacked linebackers. I thought what he did well, too, was I thought he was aggressive and competitive in the box. Now, he played downhill. He took on blocks. He made those tackles in the run game. He also was effective as a pass rusher, adding a dimension to his game that gives an NFL D coordinator a lot more flexibility with fronts and schemes, much in the same way as Rashawn Evans, you know, who you guys know well. When he came out of Alabama 2 years ago, and that's been the case with the Titans, the way he's been used. They use him as a pass rusher at times. So I felt Murray was the best stacked linebacker prospect in this draft class, and I think he's got everything you look for. Now, again, having said that, I always have to pull back because people then think, oh, if the guy's not an All-Pro in his rookie year, that you know it's a bad evaluation. You know, these guys are prospects. No one's played in the NFL. I'm talking about his traits and attributes. Whether this happens year one, that depends on so many other variables. But I thought this guy had the best traits and attributes.
A couple of guys from Mississippi State I want to get to. And first up is a player that Chad may be better equipped to ask you about, and that's Mississippi State's Chauncey Rivers. He's an interesting study for this draft because he started at Georgia, Greg. He was kicked off the team after multiple arrests for marijuana. So he ends up on the Last Chance U series.
Yeah.
And he was a standout. He ends up back in the SEC with the Bulldogs from the SEC West, and he ended up starting last season. What do you make of Chauncey Rivers?
Yeah, the problem that he'll have for a lot of teams is he's an edge player. He has to be an edge player because of his size, but he's only 6'2", and that could remove him from some teams' draft boards because, you know, they may not see him as having enough length. Now, there's always exceptions. But the other issue with him is he doesn't really possess the kind of sudden explosive quickness that you really like to see. But yet there are a lot of plays that he didn't make. You know, you see a player with some snap to his movement, some nuance to his game. He could be one of those guys that fits a multiple front approach in which he lines up at different positions, both inside and outside, maybe play, you know, 10, 15 snaps a game. You know, one guy I thought of, and you guys know him well from his college career, he was undrafted, but he's done a real nice job in the NFL. I thought of someone like Adam Butler. You know, Adam Butler came out of Vanderbilt undrafted. He went to New England where they play multiple fronts. He's an important piece of what they do, but he probably plays 15 snaps a game. Rivers could be that kind of guy in the right situation.
I may be jumping ahead a little bit here of a guy that you haven't had a chance to watch yet, but by chance, have you seen Daryl Taylor from Tennessee?
No, and he was, you know, it's funny. Before we shut down at Films, he was my next guy because I knew the Tennessee connection, and I was going to watch him the next day, and then NFL Films shut down, and I couldn't really watch him. So, but from what I understand, I mean, he's got a lot of traits that people like. So, again, we don't know where he's drafted, but he's got good length, good movement, and explosiveness to him. You probably know a little more about him, Chad, than I do, but I think he's got a chance.
Greg, the other Mississippi State player to ask you about is linebacker Willie Gay. He is a quintessential C-ball, get-ball linebacker, and he surprised a lot of people at the combine with his impressive numbers that he put up. He's the player, for those that don't know, that was suspended from the Music City Bowl for punching the quarterback in the face during practice. How would you define his role within an NFL defense when you watch him play? Because a lot of people went back and really dissected the film on him after the numbers that he put up in Indy.
Yeah, he ran a 4.46 40 and a 10-yard split of 1.5, which is better than a lot of running backs. So, you know, people went back and watched him, which I did. He certainly brings a strong traits profile to the table. I mean, he's got good size. He's over 240 pounds. He's got explosive sideline-to-sideline speed and range. He's got really good reactive athleticism and change of direction. He'll get coaches excited with his size, athleticism profile. And you would think with more experience and development, he's got a chance to become a prototypical stacked linebacker. He's got that kind of high-level movement and range. I don't know if that'll happen right away. He made an interception return for a touchdown this past season, which I think it was against Kentucky, which I thought really was a good play, not because he returned it for a touchdown, but I thought he understood his responsibility within a zone pressure scheme as a coverage player. And I remember that play specifically, and I remember thinking that was pretty good. But it'd probably be a good idea not to punch the quarterback in the face wherever he goes.
Yeah, no kidding. And chances are they're not going to have full padded practices leading up to a playoff game like they did in Mississippi State for the bowl game. Let's go back to the defensive line interior. Jonathan Grenard, former Louisville player, he transferred to Florida. He can rush from up or down, but Coach Mack was telling me, he goes, he's probably a rotational guy. Would you like to see him finish plays with more regularity?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I kind of felt the same way, that I thought that, you know, he's a multiple position guy. You know, maybe he's a Trey Flowers type, and I know Trey Flowers is probably thought of as a pretty good player in the NFL, but he was a fourth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I think that he's not a dynamic individual pass rush guy, so he's a rotational guy in multiple fronts. So I would agree with Coach Hack. But there was a savvy and awareness to Grenard's play that it consistently showed up on film, and it probably will get him some early snaps in the league as that kind of player.
Sticking it in, Julian Aquara from Notre Dame, pass rusher. His brother plays for Detroit. He's not a power player, but he's got some bend off the edge. He's not a very physical player, but a third of his tackles, and looking at his numbers, and you can take this a bit further, a third of his tackles went for a loss, and that shows his range and his pursuit speed.
Well, he looks the part, Jonathan, and for those who look at this stuff and feel like it's important, his arm length and wingspan will get people excited because it's really tremendous. But I think he's got a lot of development to do as far as pass rush variety and understanding how to work offensive tackles. But he's got a long, athletic, rangy build. He can clear the edge. He can flatten to the quarterback. There's much to like and work with. But I think it's important to understand right now that he's not that guy yet. I hate to use the word project because in today's NFL, guys can play 10 snaps and be a factor in games. But I think just if you look at him as an individual player, that you have to understand what he is and what he isn't at this point. But there's much to like given his build and his physical and athletic traits.
Greg Cosell with us. Greg, Curtis Weaver, a stout punch guy from Boise State. He has the size to make me think that he could move in and play the five technique. Could a team use him up and down the line?
Weaver was a tough evaluation for me. I mean, he has outstanding college production, but he's a bad body athlete. He doesn't have great movement traits. I don't think he's an edge rusher. He was one of those guys that watched him. A ton of his sacks came when he was unblocked, and you have to take note of that. He's not a twitchy guy. He's not a sudden explosive guy. So you wonder if he can replicate his college success against the far better players he'll face at the next level. Now, there were some subtleties and nuance to his game as a pass rusher. Can he build upon those? He would need to be a technician. But the one thing he needs, and I certainly don't know anything about Boise State and their weight program, but he needs an NFL weight program because his body needs to be reshaped.
Greg Cosell, the best when it comes to analyzing the draft. Unfortunately, he's not allowed inside NFL Films right now, so he's working from home, and he's nice enough to join us by phone from his home each and every Wednesday. Greg, how many books did you read in the last week, and what was your favorite?
I read a couple in the last week. I'm actually reading one now that will take me a little long, a really good author named Mo Hayter. It's a woman from England. She has a great character named Jack Caffrey. It's almost literature. They're really well written. I'm reading the second one in the series called The Treatment. This one will take me a little longer.
So it'll take you 2 days instead of one?
Well, I did zip through a book in 2 days, but it was an easier read. But this one will take me closer to 4 or 5 days.
3 days, Hutton. 3 days. This is going to be a long time for Greg. This one's going to take 3 days. It's that complicated.
Greg, I know, knowing you are itching to get back into your office. Hang in.
That's going to be a while, Jonathan, unfortunately.
I know. Hey, we'll catch up next week. We'll go further across the defense. Chad?
Yeah, can't wait to talk to you about Daryl Taylor in June when you get back into the
office.
Yeah,
when I get back in the office, I know.
Greg, right. Thank you as always.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films joins us each and every Wednesday where we go through the NFL draft, which is 4 weeks from tomorrow is when it takes place. Michael Kist, by the way, will join us tomorrow, where he'll give us day two players for Pac-12, Big 12, and ACC. Looking forward to that. When we come back, a special guest joins us, Will Newman from Edley's Barbecue, and then we will hear from John Robinson. The Titans general manager joins us at 1 o'clock. Mike Vrabel on the show today. We'll hear from him at 1:30 on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
The 3HL talks balls with Jason Swain. Presented by Gary Ashton of RE/MAX Advantage. Thursdays at 5:15 on 104.5 The Zone.
It is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. With Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton. David Reed is the chairman of the board. Edley's Barbecue, authentically Nashville, locally owned. Coming up Friday, you can grab the curbside pickup for the Nashville-style hot pork. If you haven't tried it, give it a try today. If you like Nashville-style hot chicken, you will love Edley's Barbecue, Nashville-style barbecue. Edley's now has Bushwhackers delivered. You heard that right. All of your favorite Edley's cocktails can now be delivered to your doorstep. Edley'sBBQ.com for more information, or you can call 615-942-7499. 942-7499 is the number for delivery. It's the number that Chad Withrow called for the curbside pickup, where he's going to pick up the brisket lasagna, six large portions. It's the family take-and-bake brisket lasagna that I know Will Newman tried last night, Chad, and Will joins us by phone. Will, it's easy. You bake it. Even Chad can't screw this up tonight for the family.
It would be really, really hard to screw this up.
That's good luck, that's Dad. Good news for me. You inspired me, Will. I saw you guys posted on Instagram yesterday, and I'm thinking, boy, this is something that's very practical right now. It sounds delicious. It's a good use of brisket that may be left over that you can put into a different meal and that the entire family can eat. And then I saw you eating, and that really put it over the top. I thought, okay, now I have to go and get this. I called the number that we've been giving out all day. I spoke to Megan at the Sylvan Park location, and she took my order, took a specific time down. It was that easy.
That's awesome. Yeah, we had it last night, and the whole family just loved it.
Will, how are things going at Edley's during all of this? I know all the local businesses are trying to keep their head above water, and I know you guys have been busy. I've been talking with you guys about the curbside pickup. That's going well, and the Bushwhacker sales. You're allowed to give away everything but the mason jar.
That's right. You know, necessity is the mother of all inventions, and delivery, curbside, to-go alcohol weren't things on our radar 3 weeks ago, and now they're. You know, we've kind of got those things figured out to pretty good extent. So we're having some decent success under the circumstances that's helping us, you know, continue to pay some of our people.
And I know you're pushing everyone that's interested, go to the app. Download the Edley's app is a great way to do this. And it's an app where you can see everything that you have to offer on the delicious menu.
Right. It's a quick way to avoid the phone lines. Our phone lines are busy often, especially in the evenings. So the app is a great way to get your order in, and we can get it out to your car.
There's so many questions about, you know, precautions being taken for COVID-19 and everything else. For people out there that may be, you know, a little bit concerned about any of that, Will, just how far apart is everyone that where you're working, precautions that you're taking in terms of curbside delivery and making sure you're at a distance from people? How do you go about making those decisions, and what are you implementing at your restaurants right now?
Well, I'm real proud of our team. We've been diligently following all CDC guidelines and local health official guidelines, and so we're just being incredibly diligent, making sure that, you know, we're constantly sanitizing, washing hands, staying good distance from each other. Our team takes it very seriously. They feel that they are providing essential services and are proud of that because they know people need food outside the grocery store. And so we are taking it incredibly seriously and just proud of the team to rally together to make sure we're following all the guidelines.
Will, I have witnessed, and this was months ago, I have witnessed David Reed pick up the brisket off of your floor at the East Nashville location and put it back on the plate and eat it. there is no telling what he will do with the brisket lasagna.
It's super unique. It was just a great idea. Brett Duck, our chef, came up with the idea, and it's just, I've never even heard of brisket lasagna before. And it's got a smoky flavor. It's so, so interesting. It's just unique, and it's fun to do.
Nashville-style hot barbecue available this Friday. Well, hang in there, man. We know it's tough on everybody, and when we saw this on Instagram and you cooking the brisket lasagna last night, it looked delicious, so great that Chad's ordering it tonight, and I'm sure Claire's about to text me to pick this up this weekend.
We'll continue offering some different take and bakes. Once we get through this, we're working on pork barbecue enchiladas. Those will probably be next in the hopper. So nice. we're in the test kitchen right now, working all kinds of different things for people to bring home.
If you need taste testers, we're available.
Maybe we can do some virtual taste testing.
Yeah, I'll eat anything, Will. Absolutely anything. The worst idea you have, I'll try it out. I'll try anything once. That's what they always say about me.
Nice.
Hey, thank you, Will. We appreciate you, man, and we'll catch up soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Will.
Will Newman has been our guest. He and Catherine doing great work with Edley's. Again, two of their three locations are available for curbside pickup right now. 12 South, Sylvan Park are the two locations. Murphy Road and Sylvan Park, of course, 12 South, the familiar location for those immediately downtown. But also East Nashville. East Nashville hit by the tornado, so they're going through some renovations.
Also, I'll try anything once, exactly what Joe Exotic would need to hear from me, and that's all he would need to hear.
Paul is back. He's waving at us.
Got 2 seconds here, I guess, before you go to break and before dial into Vrabel here. You know, it's about what we expected. A couple interesting things there that I tried to text and tweet as we went along. John Robinson, don't get enamored with measurables.
Yeah, we have it coming up.
Do you want some quick stuff or not before you play? You want
coming
to maintain
up, John Robinson, we will explain. He'll explain how the organization is preparing for the NFL draft remotely. Depth at pass rusher, his rationale for trading Jarrell Casey, and according to tweets, he was asked about Jadeveon Clowney. Paul, did I hit him?
Yeah, those are the main things. Don't get excited about Clowney or Ryan based on the way he mentioned them, I would say.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. John Robinson, we'll hear from him next on 104.5 The Zone.